Good morning. Would you join me in a word of opening prayer? God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this Sunday that we have this ability through technology to be together and learn together. We ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing to you. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 27. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." We all have pivotal moments in our lives that live on as memories long after the moments have passed. Usually, they're happy memories. Memories of making new friends, starting a new school, graduating, marriage, moving to a new home, accepting a new job, retirement. There are many important moments in our lives that we can easily recall and think of fondly. There are smaller memories too, as easily remembered and yet sometimes seen as less noteworthy. A special afternoon out with a parent or a sibling. A certain item that was gifted to you that invokes a special memory when you look at it. One of those perfect days that you're not really sure why it's perfect or what has made it perfect, but you just know that you will always remember it for being perfect. But some of our memories aren't so happy. They're more, "Why did I?" or "Why didn't I?" "I wish I had," or "I wish I hadn't." That's the thing about memories. When they're good, they're great. It's such a special thing to be able to recall those wonderful moments of time gone by. But sometimes we would do just about anything to be rid of those not so wonderful memories. My grandfather was one of my very best friends. He was the funniest person I ever met. A gifted storyteller, musician, and artist, I looked up to him greatly throughout my childhood. His name was Robert, and I lovingly referred to him as Bob. With both my parents working outside the home, I spent much time with my grandparents, which I thoroughly enjoyed, because they had a really nice pool. And with all that extra time, Bob became like a personal chauffeur in a way, taking my gran and me to the mall or the movies, dropping me off and picking me up from school or work or a friend's house. If there was somewhere I wanted or needed to go and he was available, Bob was there. And in that, Bob and I were given a lot of extra time together. 5 minutes here, 15 minutes there, all added up to a plethora of little memories I cherish now that he is no longer here with us. Whenever I hear jazz music, I think of Bob. I remember having him drive me home well after 11 p.m. because I changed my mind and I didn't want to have a sleepover at their house anymore. And he never made me feel bad about such a request. I remember on the nights I did sleep over and we would have a big breakfast in the morning, I remember him putting vinegar, salt, and pepper on his whole breakfast. Eggs, hash browns, sausage, fried tomatoes, all of it. Didn't matter, it got doused and everything. In the summer of 2008, I was 16, preparing to enter grade 12 and living my best life. It was that golden time, the last summer that held the perfect balance of freedom and responsibility. I had a part-time job that saved me from total boredom and gave me enough pocket change to be able to go out and have fun with my friends. It was the best. And then ever so quickly, life completely changed. Bob became very ill, and within a matter of a few weeks, he was gone. And ever since then, I've had trouble recalling those good memories because I've been so stuck on the worst one. That summer, I was goofing off. I was 16. I was swimming in my friend's pool, going to the movies, probably going on a few dates with my latest crush. I was probably shopping a lot. I wasn't present. And I've always felt guilty because I missed out on being there with Bob as his time on Earth came to an end. And it has been like rubbing salt on a wound every time I've thought about it. Because he's gone, and I wasn't there when he left, and now I'm here, and he isn't. Our text this morning focuses on Jesus promising the Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands, he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Another advocate, he says. When I hear the word advocate, I think of someone that takes a stand for what they believe in. Someone who goes ahead of and defends, even promotes that which they support, that which they care about and love. In preparing for this morning, I did the typical millennial thing and I Googled the word advocate. On Merriam-Webster.com, I looked up words that were synonymous to advocate. And the first suggestion that really surprised me and caught my eye was apostle. I don't know about you, but I didn't know that apostle was synonymous to advocate. And in the list was also herald, high priest, true believer, gospeler, and friend. Forming my own faith throughout the years, I've seen God as the Father, the head of the household, for lack of a better term. And I've seen Jesus like a friend, a pal. But when I've considered the Spirit, I saw it more as a guide, an all-knowing spirit that flows with me. I connected it to feeling like the wind. I can't see it, but it's there. I hadn't necessarily felt a personal connection to it like I do to Jesus. But with this new information, I see the Spirit also as a friend that is guiding me. It feels companionable and comforting. We are given the amazing gift of the Spirit that leads and walks with us through all times, not just the difficult and trying ones, but also the good ones too. I'm sure we can all remember a favorite teacher we had in school, or maybe even out of school, someone special that has taught us something. What was it about that teacher that made them so special? Was it their friendly nature, their relatability, their belief in you? In this morning's text, Jesus also refers to the Holy Spirit teaching us. In God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit of Truth, we have the ultimate teacher, the educator that would win Teacher of the Year every time. Because at the root of their methods and their ways and their heart is love. They never leave us. We have a 24/7 education team that is with us always and encouraging us to love our neighbors and ourselves. After all, we will never look into the eyes of someone Jesus doesn't love, and that also includes ourselves. It's hard to not think like the other Judas quoted in today's passage. He wanted to know why the Lord was showing himself to those to whom he was speaking, and not the entire world. Why did he choose them? And why does he choose us? As F. Belton Joyner Jr. writes, the Holy Spirit reminds us who Jesus is. Jesus is the one who sees a person open to salvation when the world sees only Zacchaeus, a conniving tax collector. Jesus is the one who sees a foundation for the church when the world sees only Peter, a man of flimsy faith. Jesus is the one who sees someone who can reclaim a pure life when the world sees only a woman caught in adultery. What does Jesus see when he looks at me? End quote. When he looks at us, he sees us, our hearts, our potential through the eyes of everlasting love. In these different times that we're currently living in, we're also faced with the memories that would have been. It goes without saying that there are many life events and even little moments that we're missing out on because of something completely out of our control. We're missing out on family dinners, time at school, our regular church services and gatherings. In those regular routine tasks, whether we know it or not, we're making memories, and yet we're missing out. And really, for lack of a better term, it's a bummer. Things are not as they once were, and our hearts are troubled. I'm sure I'm not only speaking for myself when I say there are certainly times of fear. Yet we know the Spirit is with us. As we read in verse 27, peace I leave with you, Jesus says. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Jesus' peace through the Spirit is alive and with us. And though it doesn't mean that we are immune to difficulty, it does mean that we are not alone in the struggle. In these last verses, Jesus reminds us that what he gives to us, this peace that comes from him, it's not like the peace the world says we will have if we do this one thing or we buy this other thing. His peace will never fade. It will never run out. We can soothe our troubled hearts with the assurance of receiving Jesus's peace. And in that peace comes the reminder that we have access to the Father through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, our advocate, our friend. When we are faced with a memory we wish we could do without, we can find comfort in knowing that the Spirit of truth is with us. And through the Spirit comes God himself, now and in that memory, and they will be with us in the days to come. The remembrance of losing Bob is, of course, still with me today, but it's not as melancholy or bitter as it once was. Those memories and feelings of guilt are things I still work through, and I probably in some way always will. But through prayer and leaning on the Holy Spirit, I have learned to forgive myself for being 16. But to be frank, I can't do anything about what was or wasn't. But the Spirit and God is working on healing that memory. But that's the difficult thing about healing our memories with the help of the Spirit. It doesn't all just magically go away, and what's hurting us isn't automatically healed. And depending on the memory or feeling, not all is forgotten. Yet, as God so often does, he has placed beauty and hope in this strife. There's beauty in the learning I have done about myself and my relationship with God through my working on healing this memory. And with the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, we don't have to feel the hurt alone. We work through it together, learning each and every day how we can be more like Jesus, loving ourselves and one another. I'd like to close this morning by reading the lyrics to I Have Called You By Your Name, written by Dan Damon. And though I wish we were all together this morning and singing it together, I will send you off with these words. And perhaps if you know the tune, you can sing it in the comfort of your own home. I have called you by your name, you are mine. I have gifted you and ask you now to shine. I will not abandon you. All my promises are true. You are gifted, called, and chosen. You are mine. I have given you a name. It is mine. I have given you my spirit as a sign. With my wonder in your soul, make my wounded children whole. Go and tell my precious people they are mine. Amen.